Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 31 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
That cost is not accurate, and that's what we have to look at. We can put that money in for a building that we are not going to own.
Moorhead Mayor Laura White Brown has reservations about a project to lease MSU's Laughlin Health Building, a topic community leaders will discuss at a specially called meeting Monday.
Rowan County has appointed a new emergency management director.
The search for Savannah Spurlock has intensified.
Lexington police are seeking witnesses to a weekend incident at Fayette Mall.
Kentucky's Supreme Court has heard arguments regarding Marcy's Law.
In sports, Rowan County girls hit the road tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 16 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Community leaders will hold a meeting Monday in Moorhead to discuss the fate of the Kentucky Folk Arts Center and the Laughlin Health Building project. Moorhead City Council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court will hold a joint special meeting at 4 p.m. at the Moorhead Conference Center with representatives from Moorhead State University. The two government entities, along with the Tourism Commission, had previously agreed to provide money for the KFAC and considered leasing the Laughlin Health Building from MSU for recreation. Mayor Laura White Brown says she fully supports the Folk Arts Center, but has reservations about the Laughlin project.
I have concerns about the long-term cost and the long-term plan for the facility. I think if we have this money to put in on an annual basis, that we should explore the option of putting that money into a facility that we will own.
The fiscal court recently decided not to participate in the proposed agreement, leaving the decision and additional costs to the City and Tourism Commission.
Rowan County now has a new emergency management director. Jim Hampton was recently appointed after 25 years in emergency services. Hampton says this is a new challenge for him to take on.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an opportunity for me to take what I've learned and experienced over the past couple decades and put it to use for Rowan County.
Hampton started his new position this week. He started out as a first responder when he was just 19 years old.
St. Clair Regional Medical Center has implemented temporary visitor restrictions to protect against the flu. Until the end of the flu season, visitation will be restricted for anyone under the age of 12 or with flu-like symptoms. Valerie Campbell is Director of Marketing and Public Relations for St. Clair.
We will continue to wait until we stop seeing so many flu cases in our facilities. And once it seems that flu is down, then we lift those restrictions.
Only two visitors will be allowed in a patient's room at one time, and they may be given protective clothing. Campbell says it isn't too late to get a flu shot. She also recommends keeping your hands clean to prevent the spread of the flu.
Richmond mother Savannah Spurlock has been missing for over a month now, and the search for her has intensified. The Cajun Coast Search and Rescue Team from Louisiana has gotten involved and has combed dozens of miles on foot. Team member Tony Wade tells WKYT finding Spurlock is important to him.
I think we've been in town about 11 days now. It's just important for me to get closure for families. I firsthand know what it feels like to have somebody missing. You don't know where they are or what's going on with them, if they're alive, they're dead.
Wade says the team has searched 45 to 50 miles on foot and is trying to eliminate places they know she isn't believed to be. The Cajun Coast Search and Rescue Team say they have to leave next Tuesday. Crew members will continue searching for answers with the time they have left.
An Ironton man is in jail after a toddler overdosed. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has more.
36-year-old David Large was arrested on Thursday for child endangerment. Police say a 2-year-old died in his care at King Daughters Medical Center. Police Chief Pamela Wagner told officials the autopsy showed findings of heroin, fentanyl, and other unknown substance in his blood. The boy was found in an apartment suffering from cardiac arrest. Large may face more charges, according to a police press release. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Lexington police are looking for witnesses to a weekend incident at the Fayette Mall. A 16-year-old and officers got into a physical altercation after police say the teen boy became non-compliant with officers. The juvenile was charged with 2 counts of assault, resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief. He was released to his mother. Police say the altercation happened around 8:45 p.m. on February 2nd. According to WSAZ, one officer working the case didn't have a body camera because he primarily works in an administrative role. Police are internally looking into why the camera wasn't recording. Anyone with information is asked to call 859-258-3600.
13 buildings have caught fire in Huntington this year. Of those 13, WSAZ reports that 11 of them were vacant homes. Fire Marshal Matt Winters says over 500 homes are vacant in Huntington, and several of those are in one neighborhood.
I think we've got 4 in a row right up here. We've got another one that burned right there.
The city uses the Unsafe Buildings Commission to decide what homes are suitable for demolition. That process can take up to 9 months. We'll be back with more news right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Kentucky's Supreme Court has heard arguments about whether a proposed amendment to the state's constitution outlining rights for crime victims was worded correctly. Lawyers faced a barrage of questions from justices during arguments today. At stake is whether last year's statewide vote on the proposed amendment will be certified. Voters approved the amendment known as Marcy's Law. The Kentucky Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers challenged the wording of the ballot question, and a lower court judge agreed it was too vague. On Friday, an attorney for Marcy's Law supporters argued the ballot language reflected the, quote, essence of the amendment. Attorney Cheryl Snyder said a ruling against the language would negate the election results. On the other side, attorney Robert Kenyon Meyer said the language didn't reflect the contents of the amendment.
Governor Matt Bevin touched on many familiar themes in his 45-minute State of the Commonwealth address, ranging from business investments to job creation. Democratic leaders were surprised that Bevin didn't bring any new policy proposals to the table. House Speaker David Osborne says the speech reinforced an idea shared by a majority of the Republican caucus.
I think it's a pretty unanimous agenda and a pretty unanimous vision as to the direction we need to move this state.
Bevin gave much of the credit for the state's direction to the legislature during the address.
A local lawmaker is nervous about a bill headed to the full Senate for consideration. A Senate committee passed a bill preventing people with serious mental illness from being executed. Supporters say the bill would only apply to those who were mentally ill when the crime was committed. Grayson Democratic Senator Robin Webb has some concerns about the bill.
If we have an undiagnosed mental illness that is just perhaps even more severe than one of these diagnosed ones, and we're precluding those individuals from the same pursuit in the same fact scenario, that troubles me a bit.
Supporters say the bill will specify a spectrum of mental illness and identify the level necessary to be considered for the exemption.
The Senate Judiciary Committee approved a bill today making strangulation a felony in Kentucky. The Commonwealth is one of the only states not to have the bill on the books. Kentucky's public advocate Damon Preston is opposed to the bill. He says strangulation is already a felony under assault law.
This is not a gap in the system. This is covered under current law. Assault fourth involves physical injury, and physical injury is defined by the impairment of any physical condition. The ability to breathe is a physical condition. Consciousness is a physical condition.
Proponents of the bill say that the physical effects of strangulation are severe enough to warrant separate legislation. The bill has advanced over to the full Senate for consideration.
A comprehensive school safety bill has cleared its first hurdle in the Kentucky legislature. The bill calls for the hiring of more school resource officers and mental health professionals. It would also create a state school security marshal and require school staff to undergo active shooter training. The Senate Education Committee approved the measure that was introduced in the wake of the Marshall County High School shooting that killed two students. Republican Senator Stephen Meredith of Litchfield says the bill is incredibly important.
I hope we use this legislation to move forward that is true commitment to our Commonwealth, that our children are indeed our greatest asset.
The parents of the Marshall County victims also testified in support of the bill.
The House Health and Welfare Committee unanimously passed House Bill 11 last week. The measure that would ban smoking on the campuses of all schools in Kentucky is now on its way to the full House. If passed, it would also ban the use of tobacco and e-cigarettes on all school-owned properties and at school-sponsored events. Dr. Pat Withrow is a retired cardiologist from Paducah. He says smokers who start the habit as teens have the hardest time quitting.
They start smoking or vaping or dipping or whatever they do. If they're that young, you can predict they will be addicted, and it won't be single drug, it would be multi-drug addiction. That's just what happens.
The bill has the support of the Kentucky School Boards Association, the Kentucky Association of School Superintendents, and 87% of state adults in a statewide poll. Senator Ralph Alvarado has filed a companion bill, Senate Bill 27.
Proposed legislation would give Kentuckians more opportunities to register as an organ donor. KNN's Paul Miles has details.
Kentuckians can sign up as an organ donor when they renew their driver's license. That happens every 4 years. But the state is soon moving to an 8-year renewal cycle, and the Trust for Life is worried the drop-off in annual license renewals will lead to fewer people registering as donors. A bill sponsored by Senator Julie Rocky Adams would allow people to register when they log into a website used to sign up for state services. The measure was approved by the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. I'm Paul Miles.
Kentucky transportation officials are holding a public meeting to get ideas on how to improve Highway 57 in Lewis County. A statement from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the blank slate meeting at Tollsboro Elementary School on February 12th is the first step in a proposed project to improve safety and meet future traffic demands on the roadway. Officials say it's called a blank slate meeting because there are no designs or changes planned yet. Darren Eldridge is the Project Development Branch Manager at Kentucky Department of Highways in Flemingsburg. He says engineers want to meet with those who use the highway to get ideas for improvements. The project would affect Kentucky 57 between the Fleming-Lewis County line and the AA highway at Tollsboro.
Taking a look at our region's weather, tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low of 16. Saturday, partly cloudy skies with a high of 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 23. Sunday, cloudy with rain developing later in the day and a high of 43. Sunday night, cloudy with periods of rain and a low of 36. Monday, rain with a high around 45. Taking a look at our region's temperatures, in Winchester, it's 31. In Inez, it's 38. Lexington, 31. Ashland, 35. Flemingsburg, 30. And here in Moorhead, it's 31 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders, when it comes to digital media, if parents need the state to parent them.
A bad current situation is the evident harm being done by digital addiction, internet addiction, or the life of the interactive screen. People wishing to improve individual and family, and thus community, want government to compel providers and parents to limit the screen time of kids of certain ages. The idea is to improve physical and psychological health by limiting media time that is known to threaten both of these. One such law has already been formally proposed in the UK. The idea of compelling certain parental actions by law is not as radical as it may sound. We already accept quite a lot of it. Parents are by law prohibited from providing certain substances to children or from keeping dangerous things within reach. So why should it seem so overly bold for people to propose legislation that prevents known harms from accruing due to too much of a good thing? Parents who let their children use the Intertech at hand are equipping them to perform in the world. Parents who let kids do that whenever and however they want to might in fact be exposing their children to harm. Is harming the ruling faculty of their mind, to quote Epictetus, not every bit as serious as if their bodies were being harmed? And, as a side note, there's pretty good evidence that the anxiety and depression social media seem to stir up for children is enhanced by physical ailments as well. So how is unfettered digital access not the business of the state? This question was put to two classes recently at a nearby college. The cross-section of ages and majors polled just over 2-1 in favor of no intervention by the state in this matter, and it appears common ground between the disputants centered on parents, who appear to be both the problem and the solution. One group of students, the minority, regretted the fact but stated that parents who would not or could not control their children's use of media were the problem, and since their parents couldn't force them to do it, the state was the last recourse, the necessary evil, as Paine once said, that should compel the slothful to more fully protect their children from digital media. The other group, the 2-1 or better majority, average age around 20 years old, said that parents were the solution, and that it was entirely reasonable for the state and the community to expect parents to perform monitoring and control at home. What is refreshing and impressive about the students' analysis and serendipitous discovery of common ground was that parents can do something about digital addiction and related maladies. And as my dad used to say with the weight of his deadly state behind him, if you don't take care of this, I will. If we parents wish to maintain our freedom from state-mandated regulation, we'd better get busy. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Morehead. The center offers a convenient 24-hour drop-off for a variety of recyclables and on-site pickup program for Rowan County businesses. Shredding services are available for businesses or individuals, and the center provides tours for classrooms and civic groups. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center also accepts computers, printers and fax machines, DVDs, CDs, phones, video tapes and game devices. More information at 784-1250.
The Lady Vikings hit the road tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County girls basketball team are on the road again tonight to face off with one of their toughest opponents to date. The Lady Vikings will go to George Rogers Clark for a 7:30 matchup. Rowan head coach Matt Stokes says GRC will be a challenge for his team.
This is one of those games that I was really trying to get on our schedule just so our girls, especially coming down towards tournament time, really see what they need to be doing to try to compete with some of the top teams in the state. Because Clark County is one of the top 10 teams in the state. You know, they went to that LIT tournament last weekend and lost in the finals. So they're a really good basketball team.
Rowan's gals won't have much time to recoup after tonight. They host Raceland Saturday at 3 p.m. The Vikings are gearing up for another road game on Saturday. Rowan's boys head to Morgan County for the second meeting of the two teams this season. The Vikes fell to the Cougars at home at the beginning of January, but head coach Sean Thacker says both teams have played a lot of games since then.
It is one of those games that I feel like even though they're not in our district anymore like they used to be, I think a lot of our fans and still think of the Morgan County game as one of those rivalry games on our schedule. And, you know, but we've been having great environments wherever we went.
Game time Saturday in West Liberty is set for 7:30 p.m. The rest of the teams in the 16th region will also be in action this weekend. Taking a look at girls regional action tonight, Fleming County hosts Mason at 6 p.m. Then Ashland Blazer hosts Russell, Morgan hosts Menifee, Elliott heads to Lawrence County, Greenup hosts Raceland, and Bath travels to West Carter. Tip-off in those games is set for 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Fairview hosts Greenup at 3, Russell travels to South Point, Ohio, and Bath hosts Lewis at 3:30. East Carter travels to Menifee at 4:30, and Morgan County travels to the Jackson City Prep Classic to face off with Phelps at 5:15. Taking a look at boys' action across the 16th region tonight, Boyd hosts Elliott, West Carter travels to Lewis County, Raceland hosts Cabell Midland out of West Virginia, Fleming hosts Mason County, East Carter hosts Fairview, and Menifee hosts Rose Hill Christian. All those games tip off at 7:30 p.m. Tomorrow, Rose Hill Christian travels to Portsmouth to face off with Notre Dame at 6 p.m. Boyd travels to Floyd Central, Fairview hosts Lewis County, West Carter travels to Bath County, Ashland Blazer hosts Johnson Central, Raceland travels to Menifee, Greenup heads to Wheelersburg, Ohio, and Fairview hosts Lewis County. All those games will begin at 7:30 p.m. Morehead State basketball will host the Belmont Bruins for a doubleheader slate of men's and women's action on Saturday. The Red Hot Lady Eagles take to the court first at 2:30 p.m. Winners of eight straight, MSU looks to avenge its 77-50 loss to the Bruins early this season. MSU has not lost again since that January game. Coach Greg Todd talks about the rematch.
Belmont's had our number, and we got to focus on us. I think we respect them a lot. They're definitely playing better than anybody in their league, but we're a good team. But I think sometimes we maybe get a little too consumed with our opponent. We just need to go out and focus on what we do.
A win would put the Lady Eagles in a tie with Belmont atop the Ohio Valley Conference standings. The Eagles and the Bruins men's teams will square off after that game. At 5-6 in conference play, Morehead State is coming off a tough 81-80 double overtime loss to Tennessee Tech on Thursday. Head coach Preston Spradlin says there are major lessons for his team to learn from that game.
You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in your teammates. You got to believe in what we're doing, what we're teaching, what we're preaching, and holding you accountable for. And then when you do those things and you get a result of fighting back and forcing overtime, you're going to, it's double overtime. You have a chance to win. And, you know, it helps with that belief part, despite coming out with the loss.
The Eagles look to have their hands full with the Belmont men, who boast a 9-2 record on the OVC and sit in a three-way tie with Austin Peay and Murray State atop the conference standings. The University of Kentucky men's team heads to Mississippi State tomorrow for a 1 p.m. matchup. The Wildcats are 19-3 on the season and sit at number 5 in the AP college basketball poll. The Bulldogs are 16-6 overall and are currently unranked. That game will be broadcast on CBS Sports. After more than 15,000 season tickets were renewed or purchased during the early signing period that ended February 1st, Kentucky football season tickets are now on sale to the public. The public sale began today. Returning season ticket holders are still able to renew their 2018 season tickets through their MyUK account at ukathletics.com. Kentucky football will play 8 home games this fall for the first time since 2015. The Wildcats' strong home slate features matchup against Southeastern Conference foes. The Wildcats' strong home slate features matchup against Southeastern Conference foes Florida, Arkansas, Missouri, and Tennessee, and a senior day showdown with in-state rival Louisville on November 30th. Toledo, Eastern Michigan, and UT Martin round out the home schedule. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Belmont for an OVC doubleheader tomorrow afternoon. The women's game begins at 2:05 p.m., and the men's action tips off at 4:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrial Average fell, although it finished well off of earlier lows, as market participants continued to worry about ongoing U.S.-China trade negotiations as well as slowing economic growth And the Dow Industrials did finish down 63.20 at 25,106.33. The S&P 500 actually was up 1.83 at 2707.88, and the NASDAQ Composite was also up 9.85 at 7298.20. Of course, yesterday, President Trump did announce that he would not meet with the Chinese President Xi Jinping before the key March 1st deadline, and the White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow also said that there is a, quote, pretty sizable distance to go before China and the U.S. can reach a deal. And also yesterday, the European Commission sharply downgraded their forecast for Eurozone economic growth in 2019 and 2020. And, of course, that weighed heavily on global markets today in terms of putting pressure on most global markets. In earnings news, Mattel was up 23% after posting a surprise profit for the latest quarter. Also, Coty soared 32% after reporting quarterly profits and sales that were above expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.8% at $52.72 a barrel. Gold was up 0.25% at $1,317.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were weak today, with the Stock 600 down 0.5%. And in Asia, most markets were down, with the Nikkei down 2% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.8%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were United Technologies and Pfizer, and the worst performers were United Health Group and Walgreens. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Coty and Mattel, and the worst performers were Goodyear and Henry Schein. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Marathon Petroleum down $1.01 at $62.69, AK Steel down 21 cents at $2.92, Kroger down 34 cents at $27.84, Community Trust Bank down a penny at $41.42, Humana down $4.95 at $2.99.02, and CSX was up 54 cents to finish at $68.75. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
Taking a look at a few community events, come to Le Cabaret, an evening of music and dinner at the Gateway Regional Arts Center at 7 p.m. on Friday, February 15th. Celebrate Valentine's Day with an Italian dinner, cash bar, and live music. Tickets are priced at $15.
The Department of Music, Theater, and Dance in the MSU School of Creative Arts will present the classic French comedy Tartuffe, February 14th through the 22nd in the Caudill Little Theater inside Breckenridge Hall at Moorhead State University. Performances begin at 7:30 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday, February 17th. Tickets and information at 783-2170.
The Moorhead Lions Club is sponsoring a Master of Illusion magic show at 3 p.m. on Sunday, February 17th at the Moorhead Conference Center. Tickets are priced at $10 at the door, and the community is invited. Proceeds will support the Moorhead Lions Club.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, partly cloudy skies and a low of 16. Saturday, partly cloudy skies and a high of 37. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 23. Sunday, cloudy with rain developing later in the day and a high of 43. Sunday night, cloudy with periods of rain and a low of 36. Taking a look at our region's temperatures, in Winchester it's 31, in Inez it's 38, in Lexington it's 31, in Ashland it's 35, in Flemingsburg it's 30, and here in Moorhead it's 31 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Keneally Roberts, Cassidy Stearman, Sarah Fashipe, Brian Courtney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Paul Miles and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. And our feature commentary this afternoon came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya Andwaza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.